You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents
Payne and Pendergast.
Presented by Allied Home Security.
All right, so we had a first last night in the in an Astros game all year long. The Astros are about a quarter of the way through the season, 27-16. And Seth, 15 times they've been able to trot out what I think is going to be, if they were to enter the postseason this week, their lineup would be some combination each night. You know, when rest isn't a thing anymore, you got everybody going full bore. Their lineup is going to be some version of Altuve, Brantley, Bregman, Yordan, Gurriel, Tucker, Pena. Those are the big seven. Then either Siri or McCormick in center field, and then Maldonado is their regular catcher. That is their version of the death lineup.
Yeah.
Last night was the first time all season that the Astros, in 15 games where they've had their full complement of players available or not resting, whatever the case may be, that was the first time they've lost with that lineup all year long. They're 14-1 now with that lineup this season.
It's, we just need to have them that healthy.
Yes.
And that's have you done a breakdown on the pitchers that were pitching in that?
I don't have that.
Yeah.
I don't have
that.
I mean, this we can assume the pitching's been pretty good through that whole time.
Have they been pumping out one run regularly the way they did last night?
Why are you hitting me with follow-up questions? I'm just trying to bring up a really neat stat.
Trying to bring up a weird random stat. This is the important thing to know about that lineup. With or without that lineup, Maldonado in five of the last eight games has had a hit, Sean.
That's nice.
Maldonado is on track to be firmly in the triple digits in his batting average.
He's up over
average.
A buck 20 now. No, but
120?
Yeah, he was hitting 124 at some point last night. No, but I do think it's important. And forget about the nuance of it, who was pitching, this and that. Those are fair questions. I get it. For people, and I was this way at the beginning of the year when Dusty, literally the second game of the year, he's resting somebody. You know, he's resting a regular. Like, come on, man, two games into the year. I think it is an indicator, at least. I think the record with that lineup is going to wind up being pretty good this year. Are they going to be 14-1, borne out over the whole year? Probably not. That's a really, really good record. But I think they're going to be pretty good. I do think that provides an indication. If you're somebody who gets uptight or upset with Dusty load managing the hell out of a team, because the one argument could be, well, why wouldn't you trot that lineup out more if it's winning so many games? Well, this just in, they're winning a lot of games when they rest guys too. The key is, that's the lineup, that is the group that you want, to your point earlier in this conversation, that's the group you want in October.
Yeah.
And so if you manage it appropriately, manage it smartly, it's not a young team necessarily anymore either. Yeah, you don't have a lot of, honestly, you don't have a lot of Iron Men in this group of the Magnificent Seven that you've got right now.
I sent you that heat chart a couple weeks ago, but it was the first time it really had struck me just how different a team it is compared to back when they had so many young bucks on there, was the overall speed, where it was very few guys that were in the top few percentiles of speed. It was Chaz McCormick, Jose Siri, one other guy. Oh, Pena. Pena, those are the guys who are in the top 10%. So, you know, between two of those guys combined to be one starter for the most part. So the rest of them, including Bregman, remember Bregman was like the 70th percentile, or like, no, like the 70th in the bad way, like the, on the downside.
I choose to believe he's resting his hammies and he just jogs to first base and he's getting penalized for that.
It feels like his steps are even tinier this year. He's trying
they are
everything
choppy.
He can to, to not stretch.
Yeah.
Speaking of speed.
Yeah.
All right. All right, everybody. Can I, Can y'all just calm the hell down about Miles Straw? Like, I like him. He runs fast. Woo! I don't get it, man. I just don't get it. He seems like a hell of a guy. Yeah, it's fun to watch him run, and he's good for a stolen base here and there. Overall, the Astros are doing better in center field than Miles Straw has as an individual fielding this year. He's nothing at the plate, as always. And okay, great. I don't get it. I don't get the fan infatuation with Miles Straw. But he has a nice 5-year, $25 million contract.
He did. He got a new deal. So do you think so? When he and Kyle Tucker were spotted at Snooze yesterday, Snooze is a breakfast eatery in the Heights. Very, very good. It's one of those breakfast places that has a drink menu as well. You know, you want a little Bailey's in your coffee? Sure, yeah. No problem. You want a Bloody Mary to go with your omelet? Here you go.
It's not just for brunch on the weekend.
That's right.
Let's go get tanked at 10 a.m.
Yes, okay. Like you and I should do after the show at some point.
Yeah.
But they were spotted at Snooze. So the question becomes, Miles Straw is clearly the inferior player of the two,
yeah,
but he's the far better compensated of the two. So who do you think picked up the But he did. You think Miles Straw did?
Yeah, it was reported that he picked up the tab.
Okay.
Miles Straw picked up the tab. And but he said that Kyle Tucker will, after he gets his arbitration money, arbitration cash, because he'll be making more per year than Miles Straw.
He will. You know, it might take a couple years, though. Those arbitration, people think in arbitration sometimes you go from minimum for 3 years to all of a sudden if you're Kyle Tucker, and Kyle Tucker will probably have been an all-star at some point by the time he hits arbitration, that he's going to shoot straight to $15 million. They kind of go gradually with that. You know, like the first arbitration year for Kyle Tucker, he might have to live on a meager $6 or $7 million. you know, they go gradually
with
the arbitration.
You know what? Yeah, Correa in 2019, that would have been his first arbitration year, right?
Yeah, 2019.
He was awarded $5 million.
That's right. He
topped
out.
That was after he'd had his
rookie. His big year was 2017. He had like a 950 OPS. So just, you know, before you guys go hitting up Kyle Tucker for drinks in the year 2023 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Just know.
2020, his arbitration was $8 million.
Yeah.
His deal was $8 million. Somewhere around there. Miles Straw might be buying, because Miles Straw's got his $25 million guaranteed.
That's right. So he's going to be buying for a little while. So if you see Miles Straw today anywhere in Houston, hit him up. He's buying. He's buying for you guys. By the way, I was looking at an article before the show, Seth. You mentioned Correa.
Yeah.
They were at the quarter mark of the season, and ESPN did a thing where they ranked the huge free agent signings from this past offseason, the big nine-figure guys, all the guys that got over $100 million. And I guess technically Correa got over $100 million, even though he can opt out after this year. He's guaranteed $105 million. Correa, a little far down the list right now, behind a bunch of guys. You gotta go pretty far, and there's not a ton of $100 million guys. Number one, Kevin Gausman of the Blue Jays, Scherzer 2, Freddie Freeman 3, Corey Seager 4, oh, that's a shortstop, Nick Castellanos 5, Trevor Story 6, Robbie Ray 7, oh, there he is, Carlos Correa 8. To the Twins, behind two guys that he was in competition with this offseason at the shortstop position. I know Trevor Story's not playing shortstop for the Red Sox, but he is by trade a shortstop. Here's what they say about Correa. Got off to a terrible start, 167 through 16 games. Then he hit 412 over the next 8 games before getting hit in the finger with a pitch and going on the IL. He's back now, hitting 269 with 2 home runs in 108 at-bats. Correa's offense has been all over the place in recent seasons. Great in 2019 and 2021, below average in 2018 and 2020. Who knows where he'll end up at this season's end and how that will affect his decision on whether to opt out of the remaining 2 years of his contract. Seth, if you were a betting man, would you bet that Carlos Correa has a year that is worthy of an opt-out, or does he opt in for another $35 million from the Twins next year?
I don't think he has a year worthy of an opt-out. The question is, okay, is it still better with Boris as his agent? Do they say, okay, look, it is what it is. We're probably not going to get that $300+ million 10-year deal, but let's get the most we absolutely can while we're still young. That's the question. The other big factor would be, okay, do the Twins keep this up? where they're leading the AL Central, 26-16 right now. And does it feel like, okay, yeah, you know what, we're on a good team, and I'll just come back around. I'll be in a position to succeed and put myself in the best light. I'm thinking he's going to stay at least one more year in Minnesota.
With the Twins? See, yeah. I thought you made a pretty good case for an opt-out being a heavy favorite. I think if he has a good year, he opts out for sure. I think if he has a year, I don't think he's going to have, barring injury, and I guess with Carlos Correa, you can't just casually bar injury from the grid. But I think there's a 50-50 chance he has a good year and opts out. And of the not having a good year, I think there's a decent chunk of the percentage of not having a good year where it's at least a good enough year to do what you said, which is kind of concede, hey, man, you're probably not getting 10 years. You're not getting Corey Seager's deal. You're not getting 325 over 10. How about opting out and locking yourself in for a couple hundred million over the next 6 or 7 years?
Plus, next year, so this is technically his 28-year-old season. He's got a late September birthday, so he's 27 right now. He turns 20. So this is his 28-year-old season. So next year, going into free agency, that'll be his 29-year-old season.
Yeah.
And I know we think that baseball's all so analytical that it wouldn't matter or not. I do think there is a little bit of the old pricing something at $29.99 instead of pricing it at $30, where it sounds a whole lot better to give a 29-year-old a long-term deal than a 30-year-old a long-term deal. Yeah.
Honestly, there's probably GMs. There's like at least 10 GMs that if they were listening, like nodding their head going, yeah, you know, he makes a good point. It's very sellable. It's very sellable.
You know, but as far as the sell, even if you don't believe it personally, there's a sellability side.
In his 20s.
He's in his 20s,
he's
right.
In his 20s, yeah. John McClain, not in his 20s. But by God, he acts like it sometimes. The Toast to the General, Wednesday, June 15th at the Houston Improv. I'm looking forward to emceeing that event. The list of special guests is amazing. Mean Joe Green, Kenny Houston, Robert Brazil, Hall of Famers galore. Gary Kubiak is going to be in town for it. They'll all be toasting. I don't know if all of them are toasting McClain, but they'll all be there. It's going to be a lot of fun. Tickets are on sale now, and they're going fast. You can buy your tickets at the Houston Improv, improvhouston.com, or ticketmaster.com. There are still some tickets left, but they are moving. It benefits a really great cause, Be an Angel. That's Dan Pastorini's charity that benefits kids with special needs. So your money that you're spending on a ticket is going directly to a great cause. Presented by Sterling McCall Automotive, a Group 1 company, and Houston sports leader, Sports Radio 610. The NIL in college football has been a huge topic this week because of Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban. Is it a big topic for NFL general managers? Nick Caserio shed some light on that yesterday. That's next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, we know name, image, likeness is huge in college football right now. It's causing a lot of problems. A lot of problems with you people. It's causing a lot of problems between head coaches. It's causing problems for head coaches keeping guys on campus when other schools are putting collectives together to offer NIL deals. We know that name, image, likeness is just, it's new territory. It'll work itself out, but right now it's in its infancy stages and it's tough. It's also something that is on the radar for the NFL because these college guys are coming into the league, some of them with NIL deals that they had in college, some of them decided not to get them. But how did they handle NIL as players, as student athletes? Nick Caserio said that is definitely something that they talk to the prospects about.
It's interesting. You know, some of the players that we talked to and interviewed during our process, we brought that topic up, and there are certain players that shied away from it because they said their focus was on, you know what, I'm focused on being the best player, and if I'm as good as a player I possibly can be, then eventually some of that will take care of itself relative to having the opportunity to get drafted in a slot. Maybe that's, you know, a high draft pick or even, you know, second, third round picks. There's a certain level of compensation that's involved. I think one of the things that's interesting is just the level of financial commitment that I would say players are receiving or the schools are willing to outlay for them.
Oh, so that was Caserio yesterday on with me and Seth. He was on with us for 36 minutes yesterday. You can listen to the interview on the podcast. It was a good conversation. Seth, my feeling on this is that I feel like all 32 teams like that answer that he said, where some players said we didn't do any NIL because we wanted to focus on football, and if we focus on football, I'll get drafted higher, and that stuff will take care of itself. I feel like all 32 teams like that answer. It's impossible not to like that answer. I feel like the Texans skew to the further end of the curve on it, really liking that answer when it comes to NIL.
Yeah, but I also think, and I would guess that Nick Caserio feels this way, you can't automatically think that it's a negative if a guy did partake.
I agree.
And it's one of those things where, okay, if the guy genuinely, like, this guy's so focused and determined and he knows that he's got a potential payday on the other end that's so huge and vast that he didn't partake in it at all, yes, that's great. That's awesome. But also recognize that, yeah, some of the, like Nick alluded to, the numbers that we're talking with some of these kids are to the point where I feel like I might have to ask a guy, be like, okay, I want to be sure, like, this guy turned down the money because he's focused and not because he's stupid. Because, he could have taken a $2 million and for minimal effort. You know, so I think that, if anything, the guys that take the name, image, likeness money, but handle it well and, you know, act responsibly, it doesn't affect them, it didn't knock them off course or anything, that might even be more of a big plus, because that's one of the biggest question marks you have is, like, okay, with these guys is, man, there's lots of guys that are just Boy Scouts in college when there's no money around and the money changes them and there's almost no way to predict it. Some guys it doesn't have an effect. Some guys it makes them work even harder. And then some guys it just turns them into a completely different person. So if I have a guy that's actually made a bunch of money in NIL, but he didn't spend it and he's just stayed focused, never changed, coaches still love him, then that might be more of a plus.
It's a really interesting topic because of what you just said. You know, I'm talking about how the Texans probably more than most teams like guys that gave an answer that Nick just said where, hey, I didn't do the NIL stuff because I wanted to focus on football. It doesn't mean, it's not this black or white thing where it means because they like the answer of no, I didn't take NIL money, that yes, I did take it is a bad answer, or they eliminate those guys like you said. I think what's also interesting is that all the dynamics you just said about getting more money in your life, you know, and does it change you? Does it change your work habits? Does it change who you are personally? Does it change your interpersonal relationships? Seth, those are all things that are hard for people in their 40s to deal with, or 30s to deal with, or 50s to deal with. We're talking about 18-year-old kids. That's what makes it, to me, just a really, really interesting topic.
The vast majority of us are really, really bad at just managing our money if left to our own devices.
Yeah.
Without, like, the vast majority of human adults, including when you're 40, 50, 60 years old.
Right.
So, I was lucky enough that early in life I you know, was advised to basically do a bunch of stuff that I can't, I don't have any control over. It's a, you know, it's a commitment device. I couldn't touch certain money until I was 35 years old, until I was 45 years old. And I'm glad that I did, because I think I'm smart enough, but I don't always have the best judgment.
Because now you're wrecking shop as a 45 year old.
There's different, yeah.
They were right. The parties are way better in your 40s when you've saved your money in your 20s.
The day of my 45th birthday, I woke up and I said, "Hey, Brandy, things are going to change for a bit around here, okay?" And then I had a water slide installed in the backyard.
A roller coaster, a water slide, and you bought 3 Lamborghinis.
So I think sometimes, you know, everybody's always got that image of like, oh, yeah, well, you know, if it were me, what I would do with that money is stick it in a high yield this or that or whatever. But it's easier said than done.
Yeah.
And yeah, if you have a guy that's actually showed that discipline already, well, he's in college. That's a rare maturity for a college kid.
Caserio went on to talk about one player specifically, and I feel like this is a player who is, at least in the moment, has kind of become the face of the name, image, and likeness stuff. Jordan Addison was the Biletnikoff Award winner for top wide receiver in college football at Pitt last year. He just transferred to USC, where reportedly he's got a big NIL package waiting for him to go play for Lincoln Riley at USC. Nick Caserio yesterday on our show, unsolicited, brought up Jordan Addison by name.
The one receiver that's transferring from Pitt, Addison, right? He's one of the better receivers in the country. I think I was reading something the other day that, you know, he had a potentially NIL deal totaling or getting close to $3.5 million, which is a pretty, I mean, sizable amount. That's more than some second and third round draft picks are going to make. So, and again, it's not the player's fault. You certainly can't fault them for that. But how they handle everything that goes along with it, that's something that you have to be cognizant of. Absolutely. How does that factor in? Does it change their, I would say, their motivation, how they approach their sport, how they approach their position, how they approach improving as a player? They get caught up in sort of, you know, the monetary rewards.
Dude, this is definitely a thing that's a data point for NFL scouts now and GMs, how the players are handling this stuff.
It's the part that's hard for kids that are going through it right now is that there's just so little oversight or precedent, and it feels like I have this image in my mind of kids just getting offers all day long, left and right. And I know it depends. Various schools have done more things to help kids out than other schools. Well, at the same time, they got to be very careful that doesn't look like they're paying the kids. It feels like a lot more stress than, again, the typical endorsement as a player, where you might show up and do a commercial or something, and then you get paid a certain amount, or maybe you wear, you know, your Nike deal is your easiest one.
Yeah.
You wear Nike, you sign a contract, you get a certain amount of merchandise, maybe some cash to wear Nikes on game day. That's all you got to do. Where in college, it like each deal is individual and separate. And the college kids, well, also, many of them actually balancing schoolwork and handling this stuff. It honestly feels like it's more of a test than the actual NFL money management side of things.
I was just thinking too, you know, you probably have some kids that are getting NIL money that they don't go to class. They're just there to play football, right? Like, before NIL, plenty of kids were just going to school just to play football. If I were a player who was a prominent player who's getting paid a lot of money through NIL, it might completely change what I actually study in college. Like, I might be super inclined to be a business major at that point.
Yeah,
like,
you start taking...
Learn about marketing and learn about money management and all of those things. Like, if you combine those things, man, it can be a really powerful thing.
You might be, you're a little bit more confronted with the real world of what you do and do not know.
Absolutely.
Where, like, when you're in college, if you're not in a... Depending on what major you have, it's very easy to start living in a little bit of bubble and think about the way things should be without being constrained by the reality of the hardcore numbers of things.
Yep.
That's a really good point.
832-49.
I'd rather have a team full of business majors than biology majors because, frankly, the labs and whatnot are too time-consuming.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're kind of gross.
Get on the field, nerds.
That's right.
That's what I would say. That would be my mantra. What is it? Play like a champion today at Notre Dame?
At Notre Dame.
Mine would be get on the field, nerds.
Okay. Yeah. I like that. You know, and they tap the sign on the way out. Get on the field, nerds. 832-494. If I buy a ticket to the Toast for John McClain, can I call John McClain an old fat bastard to his face?
The hell?
No.
No, I would. You know what? It's for a good cause. It's for charity. I would bet that John would let this person do that. They should add that as a package. You know how sometimes you can buy, you buy tickets to things and you can upgrade. Like, hey, I bought a ticket to an Astros game. I'm also buying a pass to the Gallagher Club so I can eat the buffet up there. You know, you can do little add-ons to things. Yeah. They should have that as an add-on, that you buy a table. There are certain tables that are just regular tables. There are other tables that are old fat bastard tables where you
can go up to John.
John, the
thing about that, the problem with that right there, Sean, is that what that guy wants to say to John, that lacks any kind of like actual humor or wit or anything like that.
Yeah, but it generates money for the kids, Seth.
Yeah, I can't abide by that. Okay. This is not a, who are you, Stalin? The ends justifies the means? No, just because it goes to a good cause doesn't mean you can justify any level of name-calling and whatever.
Do I sound like a jerk when I brag about getting to call John McClane an old fat bastard to his face for free? Like, I don't even have to pay to do it. I get to do it for free.
You sound like a jerk when you're pimping it out without John's knowledge.
I do a little
bit.
Like,
oh, yeah, I think John would totally demean himself.
No, you're right.
For the benefit of charity.
I am kind of putting him out there. That is true. That is kind of a jerk move by me. All right. So I'll let John call me a name back. How's that? Proportional response. All right. Headlines we'll get to in the next segment. We need to dig into attendance at OTAs. There are some prominent names that are not in attendance for their teams. What does it mean? And also a trade made yesterday at the most important position in team sports within the AFC South. That's next.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, let's take a little spin around the NFL here before we get to headlines at 7:45. So, Seth, taking attendance at various OTAs around the NFL. OTAs are voluntary, so nobody's racking up any fines. That'll start happening at mandatory minicamp in June.
Although, for the longest time, it felt like when it was the term was mandatory voluntary.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody would say voluntary mandatory, but no, it was mandatory voluntary.
Yep.
It was all but mandatory that you show up to these voluntary workouts. And then guys started testing it somewhat, and especially during COVID when it became some guys legitimately wanted to be careful about COVID, and then other guys legitimately wanted to claim that they were being careful about COVID but just didn't want to do OTAs. So now it's harder to tell if a guy's making a statement or not. I think when Deebo Samuel sits out of 49ers OTAs, he's definitely making a statement.
Yeah, that's – okay, I'm glad you brought that up because I do think – you're right. My guess is there's coaches and GMs that still view it as mandatory voluntary, but there are certain exemptions that have kind of organically grown over the last few years, and I feel like one of those exemptions is – he's got an issue with his contract. He's heading into the last year of his deal. He wants a big deal. Okay, he's not going to be. I wish you were here. He's not going to be here. It's business. I don't want to rock the boat because we'd like to keep this player. Maybe we come to an agreement. I'm not going to say things about him publicly, but so I think
well, they can't. That's one thing they're always really careful about is they can't because they are supposed to be voluntary. You never hear a coach say that this guy should be here.
Good point. But you mentioned Deebo Samuel. So Deebo Samuel not at 49ers. OTAs. There's been a lot of talk about Deebo Samuel getting traded leading up to the draft. The problem for these guys who are looking to get traded, and Deebo Samuel, of all the names that we're looking at here that didn't show up for OTAs or in some sort of contract dispute, Deebo Samuel seemed to be the one most embedded in not wanting to go back to his team. Kyler Murray, for what it's worth, he wants a new contract, but he's also said he wants to be a Cardinal. Deebo Samuel reportedly has said, I don't want to be a 49er anymore. So that makes things a little complicated for the Niners. And now, Seth, we're into the part of the calendar year where I think it's harder to get max value. We saw that with the Texans with Jadeveon Clowney when he was on the franchise tag. It would have been much easier to get a bigger package for him before the draft than it was once the summer rolled around.
It's funny, and with wide receivers, things are just getting crazy. And before the draft, some people were saying, well, look, because there's so many good wide receiver prospects nowadays, it's unlikely for this trend of these wide receiver trades to continue, which I thought, okay, maybe. And then A.J. Brown got traded. And I don't know if there's any end in sight potentially for the Tyreek Hill or the A.J. Brown trades to stop. Other than that, it feels like almost every marquee receiver has been traded already.
That's what I was going to say. There's supply and demand. Like, how many of these guys are there that are truly worth 25 to 30 million a year? Like, Brandon Cooks is a really good receiver. He got a contract extension for, what, 18 million a year, which is great money. Don't get me wrong. But he's really, really good. He's still, you know, 30% below the marquee wide receivers.
I'll just look at a random, let's see, this is Pro Football Network's top wide receiver ranking.
Okay.
I just Googled it just to see how many of these guys have been traded in recent years.
Oh, awesome.
Here are the top eight.
Okay.
Justin Jefferson from the Vikings.
Okay. He'll be on this list next year. He's only heading into year three. Watch that name. Watch
Cooper
that name.
Cooper Kupp. Then we get to, Devontae Adams. By the way, this is an interesting list.
Is this just a power ranking, or is it by yards?
This is a power ranking. Okay. Yeah, it's a power ranking.
I
don't know how they came up. Okay, this must be a futures deal.
Okay.
Devontae Adams.
Traded. Yep.
Tyreek Hill.
Traded.
Traded.
Yep.
DeAndre Hopkins.
Traded.
Traded.
Okay.
Jamar Chase.
Traded. But okay, hold on. Hopkins. Okay, no. Hopkins. Outwardly traded for the same reasons we're talking about here, which is they didn't want to give him a contract. Yeah.
Why weren't you going to?
Because the deal was so janky and they didn't get a first round pick for him.
But it was still a traded wide receiver.
Yep.
That's why Deebo Samuel wants to get traded.
Yeah.
Stephon Diggs. Traded.
Traded. Yep.
Just a random list of eight really good receivers, and half of
them
have been traded or are close to getting traded. Or in the case of like Jamar Chase, there hasn't been time. But let's watch with the Bengals, especially when it comes time to trade Jamar Chase, but somebody's offering three first-round picks or something absurd for that, I bet he'll get traded.
Especially by that team.
The Bengals aren't going to want to pay him.
Yeah, yeah. So Deebo Samuel, not surprisingly, not at 49ers OTAs. Man, that is a crazy list, Seth. That's wild.
Oh, so they're ninth. I had to scroll down. Ninth on the list, A.J. Brown.
Traded,
And their tenth guy was Chris Godwin.
Chris Godwin franchise tag once or twice at least. You know, it wasn't exactly just a clean trip to the long term extension for him either. Kyler Murray not at Cardinals OTAs. Not a big surprise here, but again, this is where you just say Deebo Samuel not at 49ers OTAs and forget about what the beef is with the team. When it's a wide receiver, even one as prominently featured in an offense as Deebo Samuel is with the 49ers, I think I look at it and I go, okay, well, whatever happens, happens. Kyler Murray, it's to me, Seth, it just feels different when the quarterback's not there. It's a different sort of deal, you know?
That was one of the notable things about Tom Brady in his last couple of years at New England was that, and that was, I think, maybe the first sign that something might really be amiss was that Tom Brady was skipping OTAs.
Yeah.
Which, usually with the older veteran players, it's like, whatever, the body's beat up, they're going to do what they're going to do. With the quarterback, especially in a fine-tuned offense like that, you started to wonder just exactly what it all meant. I think most people thought it meant that he might be close to retiring, and that obviously was not the case.
No, not even close. Did you see that the Cardinals are going to be on in-season Hard Knocks starting in November?
Yeah. Okay, so they're the in-season Hard Knocks.
In-season, yeah. Detroit is the preseason Hard Knocks.
Okay, all right.
Dan Campbell, baby.
Dan Campbell will be big on that. It's never the star players are rarely the stars of the Hard Knocks. JJ wasn't even in the Houston one as much as just he had that one montage.
Yeah.
That either got a lot of love or a lot of hate, depending on who you were.
He was featured more the year before in the Atlanta Hard Knocks than he was in the Texans Hard Knocks, it felt like.
When they were talking about J.J. Watt coming to the scrimmage.
And he was going against Jake Matthews, who was a rookie at the time. Jake Matthews was a – because Atlanta came here to practice the year that Atlanta was on Hard Knocks. They came to Houston to practice, and they made a big deal out of Jake Matthews going against J.J. Watt in the practices, the inter-squad practices.
Dan Campbell will definitely be a star of that. They're going to show like all of his quirkiness and everything. The true star will be somebody we don't even know exists right now, just like it was with Houston when it was our little defensive
Charles back James,
there.
Yeah.
Charles James and yep. his socks and all of that.
Did you say our little defensive back there? Is that what you said?
That's our guy. Yeah,
yeah. He's our guy. Cardinals.
Remember that? The only thing I didn't like, remember they showed him playing video games with Odell Beckham Jr.?
Yeah.
It felt really staged.
Yeah.
They're having a phone conversation. There's a lot of dead. That's why I don't like phones. Phone conversation. I guess I just get. Was that an awkward phone conversation, or okay. do I just hate phone conversations?
Okay.
That
I thought you were going to say, this is why I don't like reality TV. No, Seth yeah. is like, this is why I don't like phones.
I get like physically uncomfortable with phone calls.
Yeah.
I don't. People get offended that I don't call them or anything, and they'll say, "Oh no, everybody hates phone calls." Like, no. I have like anxiety attacks over phone calls.
I do too. I'm not a big talk on the phone guy. You're absolutely right. And when I tell people that, they go, "But you talk for a living." I'm like, "Exactly."
Yeah, to one person.
Yeah. Well, exactly, and yeah, and for 4 hours a day. Guess what? I don't want to do the other 20 hours. Talk.
Yeah,
So Cardinals in season Hard Knocks. It doesn't start till November. If you recall, last season it was the Colts, and it was funny to because they announced this yesterday that the Cardinals are going to be on the in season one, and some of the analysis that I was listening to, like last season it was the Colts, and as you know, they faltered down the stretch to miss the playoffs. The Colts don't blame Hard Knocks for that. I'm like, good. Why would you blame Hard Knocks for faltering down the stretch? Carson Wentz sucked. That's what I blame.
They didn't trade Hard Knocks to the Washington football
team.
That's right. Yeah, they traded Carson Wentz.
How do you think the Cardinals will be as an in-season Hard Knocks candidate here? I think the Cardinals could have one of those seasons where they are faltering a little bit. Like, they were the hot team. They were the hot team as recently as 7 weeks into last year. They were 7-0. They finish 11-6, and they get thrashed in the playoffs by the Rams. I feel like by the time we get to the Cardinals in the middle of November, keep in mind, DeAndre Hopkins is suspended for the first 6 games of the year. We could be picking up a season with the Cardinals in November that is one where it is sliding into the toilet.
I'm going to be honest with you, Sean. I didn't realize that there was an in-season Hard Knocks going on about the Colts until about my third week of confusion over why there were so many reports about the Colts. I knew something was going on, and people would make references about something that they saw in Hard Knocks, and I remained oblivious to it. So I didn't know how in depth did they get? Was it more interesting because you could actually follow along with actual instead of the normal Hard Knocks where they try to act like the outcome of a preseason game matters, now it's at least games where the outcome actually does matter. Was it more engaging?
It was good. I watched it. Yes, it made a big difference. I was like you. I didn't pick it up. I knew it existed, but I didn't go out of my way to watch it until they might have played the Texans at some point later in the season. So I wanted to see that particular week of it.
Yeah.
And it turned into something I watched each week. That's a great point, Seth. I think the thing that is most meaningful in the preseason Hard Knocks is the release of players. Like that's the thing that most people come for. By the third or fourth week, you've invested in these characters on here. And now some of them may be getting killed off. Like that's if you view it as episodic television. With the in-season Hard Knocks, it was the first season of it, so it was something totally new. That helped. But yeah, that there's meaning in these games. It's not just, look at these preseason games, la, 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 la. They were really meaningful games for the Colts. I couldn't wait to watch the one where they lost to the Jags in the final week of the season. That was tremendous.
Yeah, what did they do after that? Did they show Irsay all upset?
Yes, it was great. It was, if you're a Houstonian, it was chef's kiss. It was great.
Like,
it was phenomenal.
One of the most awkward moments for a football player in the NFL is when the owner comes into the locker room afterwards and walks around, and you just don't know how to act around him. Maybe it's just me, but I never knew how to act around a guy with a suit. Like, it's not normally there, and you just lost. And by the way, the guy's paying you like an unearthly amount of – he's paying you more money than any person should make for playing a game. And it always feels extra weird. Like, how do I – Imagine making small talk. It's small talk at a party at which you're uncomfortable. multiply it by 10.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like when the owner comes around afterwards.
You're sitting. I'm picturing you sitting there telling yourself, I can only screw this up. Don't talk. Don't look at him. Don't make eye contact. I can only screw this up. Just don't make eye contact.
Better to keep your mouth shut and let him think you're an idiot than open your mouth and confirm it.
That's right. And remove all doubt. Yes, absolutely. All right. Baker Mayfield's missing OTAs. That's not a big surprise. In the AFC South, I think I couched this as a trade. Is in the tease. It was not a trade. It was a signing. Nick Foles signing a two-year deal to become the backup quarterback in Indianapolis. He is reunited with Frank Reich, who was the offensive coordinator in Philadelphia when Nick Foles was a Super Bowl MVP back in 2017. Here was Nick Foles on Frank Reich.
Listen, Frank Reich is one of my favorite, if not favorite, coaches of all time. He understands me as a player. He understands me as a person. I don't know. I'm a Chicago Bear right now. He understands. I mean, y'all watched the 2017 season in the playoffs where he changed the offense and built it around me, and y'all saw what happened. So he understood my mentality as a player, and he was able to build it around me and put me in a successful position and my teammates. We haven't had any talks, so right now I'm a Chicago Bear, and I'm going to keep slinging it with these third stringers, and we're going to dice them up.
So that was Foles before the signing, obviously, when he was talking to a reporter before the trade. He was with the Bears last year. He was the third stringer behind Andy Dalton and Justin Fields.
That last bit there.
He's going to keep slinging it, Seth.
I don't know whether stringers. I like that or I hate it. That's awesome. He's just kind of like, yeah, I'm making fun of himself a little bit.
I'm going to keep whipping it around the yard with the scrubs. Me and the scrubs.
Also, yeah, it's one of those things where, okay, you can be self-deprecating without pulling others into it.
That's right.
Maybe not everybody's as comfortable being a third stringer as you are, Nick Foles,
yeah.
Who multiple times has gone out of his way to point out that he doesn't care if he sucks because all the stuff that really matters is, yeah, which is true in the grand scheme of things. But while we're here, maybe let's put out a little bit. With Nick Foles, I always think of this, because in Jacksonville, he did a press conference where really, like, in Jacksonville's a very religious town, but it had people in Jacksonville being like, all right, Nick, yes, ultimately all that matters is your relationship with God, but
the game this week is really important.
It's okay to care about winning.
Yes!
There was a story I read in Reader's Digest when I was 12 that resonated with me, Sean.
Go
remember
ahead.
Reader's Digest?
I do.
I think it still exists.
I do.
But they
I
always
do.
Had these funny little anecdotes and stuff.
Yep.
This one was a story of a kid. It was a young wrestler who lost a wrestling match and came to the sideline and told his coach, well, I guess it just wasn't in God's plan for me to win today, coach. And the coach said, or maybe it was in God's plan and you let him down. And I feel like that's the appropriate way to think
yes,
about it.
Yes, in the moment in the NFL. That's hilarious. Yeah. And that stuck with you.
Yeah. So that's what every time Nick Foles quarterbacks a losing effort, I always write a letter in infantile handwriting or like a child, which is my normal handwriting. And I say, you know, I was about to turn my life over to the Lord Jesus Christ until I saw that pathetic performance by you. And I'm Buddha all the way, baby. That's what I say. So I really let Nick Foles know how much it mattered that he didn't win the game.
I would say to Nick Foles, if he starts to invoke that as the important thing versus winning, then why did you make a deal with the devil during the 2017 postseason to become the Super Bowl MVP? If God is so important to you, why did you make a deal with Lucifer to get you a Super Bowl MVP? Because I've watched the rest of your body of work, Nick Foles, and that's the only explanation is you made a deal with the devil.
Maybe that's why he talks so much about it. Guilty conscience. You know?
That's right.
Trying
to throw off the scent. Yeah, I see that. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday here. Let's get to some headlines.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines. Brought to you by BaywayJeep.com.
Astros lose last night 6-1. Luis Garcia on the mound. He was not great last night. Not a great outing for him. The scoring for the Guardians started off in the third inning. Luis Garcia had a chance to get out of an inning. Runners on first and second with one out. Tapper to the mound, and he threw the ball into center field, which led to two runs scored that inning. He gave up a two-run home run a couple innings later, and the night was over for Luis Garcia. Dusty said Luis Garcia made the right decision by throwing to second base.
He had him at second base. He just, that was a play. You know, because anytime you can go for a double play, you go for a double play. You know, just an errant throw.
I don't know that he was going to get it. It was Miles Straw that was running from first to second.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know that it was so obvious that he was going to. Yeah, I don't think you would have got him even with an accurate throw.
Yeah, I'm with you. I feel like Straw was going to get to second. I felt like Straw was going to be safe. Now, if you're saying he made the right decision just because in the knee-jerk moment, Tapper back to the mound, runners on first and second, your first instinct is to go to second, and he's a young player who's just executing his first instinct, then fine. I don't think he was going to get Miles Straw. Now, you can't throw the ball into center field, obviously. So that was the big thing there. So Luis Garcia was not great last night, which that's the first time in a long time in a home game that the Astros have given up more than three runs in a game. Like, the pitching has been unbelievable. But as you pointed out, Seth, earlier in the show, 33 games in 34 days is starting to grind on these guys.
They're kind of operating on low energy. Guys are mustering all the energy they had, so we got two more days to try to, you know, win the series.
All right, so two more against the Guardians, and then I believe they get a day off on Thursday. Finally, they get a day. The Astros can rest. Tristan McKenzie was really good last night. If you haven't seen Tristan McKenzie before, it's probably because he was standing sideways, and you can't see him when he's standing sideways because he's skinny. But if you see him looking towards the front, you can barely make him out.
He's got a Ichabod Cranium physique,
yes,
which I respect. I love skinny, skinny pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Sale, him. Any of these guys, I'm fascinated
like a
by
whip.
Their ability to just kind of, yeah. I like it. There's probably more guys that would benefit from it just by being super skinny. It used to be more popular back in the day before everybody started, hitting your Nautilus circuits and whatnot.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Getting super skinny, like, that's Tristan McKenzie's normal physique. For most of us human beings, if we got that skinny, it means something is wrong with us.
But you should try it, Sean.
We've got
you
a just parasite. Try
to, we should. Try, you know what I found was just fun when you're losing weight is just pull-ups. Because usually when you're losing weight, you're going to lose strength. Even if you try to maintain as much muscle as possible, you're going to lose a little bit of overall strength when you lose weight. But your strength to body weight goes up. So, like, all of a sudden you can start reeling out pull-ups like they're nothing.
Do you still do pull-ups?
I do. I try. It's starting to bother my bicep tendons a little too much.
Okay.
I've got an old teammate who just tore a biceps tendon doing pull-ups, so I'm rethinking it. So,
how long is that recovery from a torn biceps?
At my age?
Yes, because I'm slightly older than
like
you.
I would imagine to the point where I'm doing pull-ups again. Never.
Okay.
So I'm not gonna mess. I'm gonna start using the rubber bands because then you can do like 25 pull-ups like it's nothing.
Oh, yeah.
You loop the rubber bands around your feet and boom, 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 boom.
Have you seen the LeBron thing that's attached to the wall, like that little workout dealio? The thing it's got the video?
The thing that LeBron endorses.
Yeah.
He didn't invent it, Sean. He probably claims he invented it.
I just called it the LeBron thing. That's all.
I know. LeBron thinks he invented Taco Tuesday. All right? So you got to be careful calling it the LeBron thing.
I refer to Dr. Linville as the Seth Payne thing. That's what I...
LeBron thinks that he invented talking in a barbershop.
He does.
That's how psychotically warped and out of perspective LeBron James is.
That's fair. You know what? Fair counterpoint. Okay, the thing that LeBron endorses. Anyways, have you seen that thing?
LeBron James, who grew up, I'm guessing, having watched a movie called The Barbershop multiple times like the rest of us, somehow thought that Nick Saban stole the idea of talking in a barbershop on camera from LeBron.
Right.
Like, imagine that. Imagine being our age or younger. Like, LeBron, anywhere from LeBron's age up to our age. Like, how many times have we watched The Barbershop? Like 478 times?
Yes.
Probably. But somehow LeBron thinks that he invented it.
Right. That's LeBron for you. All right. I didn't mean to trigger you by calling it the LeBron. You do know the thing I'm talking about, the workout thing on the wall. Yeah.
Yeah.
That thing looks pretty cool. I'm not going to lie. It takes up very little space, too.
I'll be honest, the trend that I'm glad that I bought into that's worked really well is Peloton.
Yeah.
It's I've always used stationary bikes anyway, but this one stuck because it's been like 2 years now, and I've stayed very, very consistent with it.
Yeah, yeah.
I've had it less than 2 years. I was just looking at my stats this morning. I've done pretty much like a workout every single day except for a few days out of the year. I'm up to like 650 workouts.
Okay.
So some days I do more than one. And I've never been as consistent with like any form of cardio as I have with Peloton.
I don't have a Peloton. There are two Pelotons in the gym in my building.
That's good enough.
Well, but I don't feel like sharing a Peloton with other people. You know, like it feels like the bicycle seat is a very familiar part of the human anatomy.
Of all the sweaty body parts that could touch a piece of exercise equipment.
Yeah, yeah.
Frequently for hours at a time.
Yeah.
Like, and it's not just the butt. It's like
it's up in there.
From anus to seat leather,
yeah,
right there with a thin layer of lycra in between the
two. Yeah, yeah.
That is I never thought of it that way.
Yeah, and I know all we'll that start, it's touching
we'll
is
more Pelotons.
Yeah, you're a freak.
I'm gonna go visit Sean more.
Come over to our building.
Hey, Sean, buzz me in. I'll be up in an hour.
Shows up all
sweaty.
I'll
be up in 45 minutes plus a cool down.
All sweaty doing a Vince McMahon walk into the apartment. All right. So we say all that to say Tristan McKenzie is skinny. On to the next headline. Yep. Next headline. Deshaun Watson, HBO Tonight, HBO Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel has a feature that highlights the accusers of Deshaun Watson. The promotional material said several accusers of Deshaun Watson. Now, what will get hashed out when this thing gets shown tonight on HBO is what exactly is several. Because Mike Florio had a report from Tony Busby that two of his plaintiffs did do interviews with HBO. So is two several? Is HBO being a little misleading? Seth brought this up earlier in the show, and I think it's a valid point. It's something I've tried to find out from Soledad O'Brien, who is the reporter on this feature. I DM'd her yesterday. I went back and forth for a while. She has not answered this question yet. But are the only people that did interviews plaintiffs of Tony Busby? Or, as we know, there were two people that filed criminal cases against Deshaun Watson that were not part of Busby's plaintiff pool. We know that there was a woman who did a YouTube video, Seth, right, where she talked about her experience with Deshaun Watson. There was a woman who did an interview with Jenny Vrentas of SI.com, who I believe was not a plaintiff of Tony Busby's as well. So there are the 22 plaintiffs, but there is a small gaggle of other women out there who have had experiences, alleged negative experiences with Deshaun Watson. Are they part of this feature on HBO Tonight? Well, is something I'll be interested to see.
And I guess when you say small, you mean a small gaggle that have spoken up publicly.
Right.
So like, we don't know who else potentially might have issues with anybody in this world.
Yeah.
So I think that, was Florio really making a big deal about usage of the word several?
A little bit. I mean, he didn't spend 10 paragraphs on it, but he spent more than one paragraph on it.
That's kind of the tiny little stuff that he gets wrapped up in.
He's a lawyer.
I know, but that's why it's just a reminder of like half your legal fees are over stuff that nobody actually cares about.
Oh, I don't deny that. Yeah. I'm just pointing out, you know, like that's why he's, you know, he gets
when your lawyer tries to make small talk with you on the phone, and yet you're just like, am I on the clock for this? Because I'm not going to tell you about my dog.
Now we figure out why you have anxiety on the phone. I blame the lawyers. They're the ones who gave you the anxiety. How intrigued are you by this thing tonight?
I'm skeptical that we here in Houston will hear things that we haven't heard or seen already. And we've seen some of the women themselves and the emotion on their faces, and I think it's swayed people. Because that's what happens when you can start attaching actual human beings to some of the allegations. So I think for people in Cleveland and elsewhere, it's going to have more of an effect than here in Houston.
Yeah.
Not to diminish the, you know, how hard it can be for somebody to go on camera and talk about this. But I think it's more of a Cleveland and United States thing than a Houston.
I'm going to guess that this thing will be the topic on Cleveland radio tomorrow. And it's because the same way the press conference that Ashley Solis did was the A topic after she did that press conference, there is something, as you've pointed out multiple times, there is something to seeing and hearing a person talk about it. Let's pretend for a second, Seth, that it's only Busby clients, okay? That the none of the other women who aren't suing Deshaun Watson participated in this. That this is only, whether it's two or four or six or however many, that it's only Busby clients, then I'm fairly certain we're not going to learn anything in this HBO Real Sports that you can't learn by going and reading the lawsuits. If there were something worth sharing in the interview, Busby would have already emptied the arsenal in these lawsuits, but you're You're seeing and hearing it from the actual person, and it's also the fact of the matter is most people don't take the time to go dig into and read a bunch of lawsuits.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah, and that's where I think almost this is one thing, and again, where this is like very, very difficult for somebody who's gone through this, is if they speak with some graphic level and say, like, that's when I think more people take heed and notice, as opposed to go into a link to watch, to read a lawsuit or what have you. Because that's one thing I've noticed just in Houston, is there really are, I'm always surprised by the number of people that don't even really know what the allegations are. They have a vague notion about what it is. This is also the kind of thing, too, Sean, where it becomes a crossover story, mm-hmm. where maybe it leaves just the realm of sports. Where this, the Deshaun Watson case, it does seem like it's stayed relatively within the sports environment, not the nightly news. It hasn't got the nightly news treatment as heavily as I thought it might have. This might push it over the edge.
Dude, the legal stuff, by the way, speaking of legal, you're listening to KLT and KLT HD2 and Odyssey Station. Seth, honestly, I don't even know how much this stage has gotten coverage in the sports media. You know, Florio is the one who's been covering it pretty in-depth, I think, because it plays to his areas of expertise in terms of the legal realm. But it's really hard to go find articles or in-depth analysis from anybody with the NFL Network or anybody with ESPN.com or CBS Sports or any of these outlets that have relationships with the NFL, or in the case of NFL.com, are the actual NFL. These are important things that are happening right now with Deshaun Watson, him meeting with the league, and they're talking very little about it. They're talking way less about it than they did before he got traded to the Cleveland Browns about anything that went on with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I think I don't want to overly invoke cancel culture or anything, but I think that there's a little bit of a fear of misstepping, I think, on the parts of a lot of people in the media, and I'd say understandably so. If you're, especially if you're an actual journalist, mm-hmm. as opposed to, you know, a couple of jamokes like you and me that just talk about it on the radio,
right?
I think that there are a lot of people that are trying to hold this off until there's more certainty about some things, because they don't want to be the guy that either maligned a victim or that basically said somebody was guilty before they had their day in court or anything like that. And it's just, it's easier for a lot of those people just to not talk about it. I think it was handled. Yeah. I mean, obviously it was going to be handled way more and talked about way more locally than it was nationally,
sure.
in general, but it was kind of weird how hands-off people were until recently in the national press.
Yep.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.